Start your day off on the right foot with great local programming on Sunrise from the Center on WRCE.
Thanks for joining us here on WRCO Radio, and as you do today, we have a fun topic. We're talking about a new business in the area, and Scott Oxner is here from English Prairie Distillery in Muscadet. We've been wanting to hook up with him for quite a long time, and good to have you in here in the studio today, Scott.
Yeah, good morning.
Good to have you in here. So, English Prairie Distilling Company, kind of give us a little background on why you chose Muscadet and your whole history.
That's a big question people ask, why Muscadet? And my answer usually is, why not Muscadet? So my wife is from Muscadet. Her name's Sue, and her original last name was Patch. So her parents were from there. Her brother lives there. Her sister still lives there. She graduated from Riverdale High School. So we were looking at places to potentially move when we got ready to retire. But we weren't really ready to retire. We thought we'd like to open some kind of a business, do something in the downtown area or uptown area, and maybe buy a building, fix it up, and just do something interesting with it. And the distilling part came because there just wasn't a distillery anywhere near here, and we thought, well, maybe that'd be a fun thing to do, and I've been interested in it, and so is she, so we decided that's where we would start, and we bought a building downtown, the old Pink Spot, if you remember where that was. Mm-hmm. We started with that. We added on to the back of the building for a distillery. We soon found out that we didn't have enough room, and luckily, the building next door, which was the Tailgaters bar and restaurant for a long time, and the Avenue, and who knows what else before that, that became available, so we decided, as crazy as it sounds, we'll buy a building to save money. So along with the building, we got a whole empty lot that was right next to it, where there used to be a Blackhawk Supper Club, is what people remember. Mm-hmm. So we got that as well. So now we have a patio for live music and to hang out in the summer. So it's kind of a nice spot. So it worked out pretty well.
How much room do you need for the actual, you know, distilling process and all of that?
We probably have about 800 square feet in the back. We've got a 300-gallon mash tun stripping still and a 100-gallon whiskey gin still. So that's it takes up a lot of room in there. There's not a lot of wiggle room. The front part of the old store is where we do the bottling and storage. So I'm just relaying that out this week. I've got to go buy 4 more racks and find places for more bottles and finished goods to go in there. So
did you have to study a lot and learn a lot about this whole thing and how it works?
I still do have to study and learn a lot. I mean, I've gone to a number of distilleries where I've worked there for a day or two just to watch what they're doing. I've watched tons of videos, like, you know, probably everybody else. I took a couple classes down in Kentucky to learn how some of the distilling and fermentation process works. The best advice I got was from Peter at Northern Waters Distillery up in Minocqua. And I went through it with him. I kept looking at the process and the equipment and wondered, can I even do this? And he looked at me, goes, if I can do it, you can do it. So I'm like, all right, that's all I needed. So I kind of went forward from there. But really, if you can, it's really you're boiling water. And the alcohol boils at 173 degrees, so you don't want to go too much above that. So you're trying to get the alcohol to release from the water and catch those vapors and then condense them down into just the alcohol. So if you can keep things under control and keep that temperature where you need it to be, it's not as hard as it sounds.
How long is the process, Scott, from like when you start boiling till you get it?
So if you do a mash, so what you call the first part of that first part of the process is a mash.
Oh, okay.
It's kind of like brewing. So the mash tun is what you call a mash tun in brewing. It's the same thing. And distiller's beer is that first thing you get. It's at 8 or 10% alcohol, maybe 12. It just depends. So that's actually still called distiller's beer. Just like if you were a brewery, that would be the beer. So you kind of start off with that. Doing the mashing is maybe 2 to 3 hours. So you got to heat you got to heat everything up. Then you have to cool it down. So probably add an hour on each end of that. Once you cool it down, then you can pitch the yeast, which just means you put the yeast into that liquid. Then the yeast eats the sugars and the carbohydrates that are in there, and that's what produces the alcohol, because that's the byproduct of the yeast eating sugar.
And then you put it in a barrel.
Now you've got that first part. So you've got this kind of thick, weird looking, okay, sometimes, you know, kind of a, it was really sweet when it went into the fermentation tanks because there's all that sugar in there.
Yeah.
The yeast ate all the sugar, all the sweet, but so sometimes it's a little weird and a little funky. That's what you take and you put into that back in the still, and then you cook all the alcohol off of it. So you do a stripping run, which means you take all the alcohol, whether it's the good, bad, or ugly, you take all that off. Then that probably takes, I'd say probably 6 to 8 hours. So it's a slow process. You kind of stand there and watch it, and there it goes, and you come back and it's still going, and you come back and you're really just controlling the temperature at that point. Once you collect that alcohol off of that first mash, then you take that over at some, maybe right away or maybe a day or two later, you take that over to the whiskey still. That's got a number of plates or columns in it, so you can distill the whiskey over and over and over as it rises up through that column. That takes probably another 6 to 8 hours to do that. As you're doing that, then you're doing a cut run. So then you're taking off the heads, and the heads are like methanol and acetone, things you don't want to drink. You can maybe clean paint brushes with, but you don't want to drink it. You want to get to the ethanol. That's what you can drink. So once you get to that point, that's where, if you've ever watched the Moonshiner show, they're always trying to get rid of the heads. There's the hearts and the tails or the faints. The hearts is what you want to keep. That's the alcohol that you want to maintain and keep, and then that's what you're going to use to either put in a bottle or put in a barrel.
So much science involved.
There is science. I mean, anybody that had me in high school as a science teacher would be shocked that I know anything about this. But it's not as hard as it sounds. But if I'd really gotten in trouble where I had a lot of problems with bacteria or things like that, I might need to call a real scientist at some point and have them come in. But yeah, we can do the proofing, we can do the pitching the yeast, we can do some measurements on some of those things. And I'm learning as every day. It's a learning experience because I'm always finding something out that I didn't know exactly how that worked, or I have to make a call to somebody to find out what am I doing here? Why is this going wrong?
I like the names of some of your product. Could you go over some of those?
Sure. So we got a couple products right now. So we've got a grain neutral spirit, which is it's kind of a corn based whiskey. We just call it Muscadetshine. So usually, you talk about moonshine. We just thought it was kind of a cool play on words to do the Muscadetshine. And some people call it they call it Dushine. And that's still kind of cool sounding. So I'm fine with that. But it's Muscadetshine.
Muscadetshine's got a nice ring to it.
We use that like a vodka in all of our drinks.
Okay.
So we have that one. The York State Rye, that's a rye whiskey. So our rye whiskey and our bourbon we're buying from another company right now as we kind of get things started. The York State came from, I'd have to look back now. I got to think about the actual date. It was back in the 1860s or 70s after the Civil War. Wisconsin was a frontier state at one point. We don't think about it like that, but they were trying to get people to move here. And the people they were trying to get to move here were the people that New York didn't want anymore, or they wanted to get rid of. So those were Irish people, Germans, a lot of different immigrants that were coming in. They said, hey, why don't you just keep moving over to Wisconsin? You'll like it better over there. And they in one of the newspaper accounts in the Richland Observer, they called them York Staters, because there's all these people moving here from New York State. So I just decided that York State would be good, because the first thing Germans brought to the United States was rye, and they made rye whiskey. So they probably were making rye whiskey here, even in Richland County, where they weren't supposed to. I thought the York State Rye was kind of a cool name.
Yeah. Definitely is. Any others?
The Rail Splitter Bourbon. I'm just out for a ride one day, got up to Highway 33. And Highway 33 is the Rail Splitter Highway. So it was the original group in the Army that fought the Black Hawk Wars. So they were called the Rail Splitters. And Abraham Lincoln was in the Rail Splitters. So that's kind of how it got a famous name. So the Rail Splitters, I think that was based in Milwaukee for a while. But Highway 33 from La Crosse to Port Washington is the Rail Splitter Highway. So I just thought it was a cool name.
Yeah, that really is.
Yeah. So we'll come up with some new ones as we get new products. But we're going to try and keep them, Driftless area-based names.
I'm guessing there's a real circuit of people that just love to stop by places like this, and you're probably getting a lot of people from outside the area stopping by, aren't you?
Yeah, they. I mean, people just go on a they go on a tour. That's what my grandparents would call it. They're going to go on tours. It meant they went. They're going to drive around and stop at two or three bars on a Sunday afternoon. But people will go and they'll stop off at, you know, they'll come to our place. They'll go up to Wild Hills Winery. Mm-hmm. They'll have something up there. Maybe they'll go to Driftless Gillen. They'll kind of do that little tour around the area. And then they've got these booklets that you can buy throughout the state. One's an old-fashioned book that we've got, an old-fashioned passport, so you can kind of buy one, get one, or get 50% off. But it's got 170 different places in it. There's a bourbon or a barrel book that lists all the different distilleries in the state. There's, I mean, they've got a supper club book. There's a bunch of different things in the state that you can kind of helps you kind of tour around and gets your like a half price drink along the way, or maybe something free.
What makes English Prairie Distillery unique, Scott?
That's a good question. I mean, in Muscadet or in our area, it's definitely unique the way we've set it up. We tried to do something where when people walk in the door, they look around and do exactly what, you know, you said earlier is, why is this here? What are you doing? I don't understand what's going on. We tried to really fix up the buildings and give them a look and a feel that looks like it is old, or maybe would have felt like when it was first built, but is all kind of updated amenities. So we're mixing cocktails and we're doing things that are different than a lot of places. Everybody's making a drink, but we're mixing like real cocktails as we go along and offering different stuff and coming up with new drinks for every different holiday or weekend. And so now we're getting into February, so we'll get into Valentine's Day, and then we'll get into spring, and we'll get into summer. So then we offer different things that kind of reflect the season as well.
It's awesome that you've repurposed a couple of buildings, mm-hmm. you know, that were vacant in that area in Muscadet, and then also you have a unique business. So it's really kind of the best of both worlds, isn't
yeah.
it?
And, well, I still have people that they see it says English Prairie Distillery, and they say, what kind of beer do you brew? Ah. So it's just kind of funny with the, you know, there's everybody's so used to breweries, and they're not used to distilleries. There's about, I think there's 30-plus distilleries, maybe right around 30 distilleries in the state. And they're kind of sprinkled all over. Some are a little larger. You're probably familiar with like Driftless Glen and J. Henry. They're some of the bigger ones. But there's a lot of little ones like us as well.
That's good stuff. Yeah. English Prairie Distillery in Muscadet, our subject today on the morning show. Not only do you have drinks, you have some stuff for sale, but you also have a lot of live music, probably prolific music scene there in Muscadet as well.
We're trying to have regular music on weekends, usually. Once in a while, we'll do it during the week. We're open Wednesdays, Fridays, Saturdays, and Sundays. So we've got open mic night the second Wednesday of every month. And one of our bartenders, Mike Johnson, who lives here in town, he just decided, he thought it would be kind of a good idea. I'm like, that sounds like a great idea to me. And the first night we did it, he got there at 5 o'clock, and we sat there at 5:30, and there was nobody there, and we had a sign-up sheet, and we're looking around going, is anybody going to even come? And all of a sudden somebody came in, another guy came in, and we had 5 or 6 people the first night.
Oh, that's good.
And they're all really good, too. That's what's crazy. It's not a karaoke night. If you're a really bad singer and want to come in and sing a song, you're more than welcome. But the people that come in are really, they're talented. They're bringing in their guitars. He's got everything that they can hook up, all their, you know, all their musical equipment to. So far, I think there's somebody that keeps telling us they're going to bring in a piano, an electric piano in. So, yeah, it's been fun so far.
Down the road.
Yeah, a lot of people coming in for it. And then music on, you know, Fridays, Saturdays, or Sundays. This Saturday, Mike is playing Saturday night from 5:30 to 8:30. We close at 9 o'clock. So when you get older, you know, 9 o'clock is kind of a good time, good time to close. When things start to get crazy, that's when we like to close, because that's everybody can have their drinks, they can get home and not have a hangover in the morning.
Now, somebody told me that once, we're closing down now when we used to just be going out. You know, I think that's what happens when you get a little older.
Right? Exactly. And you know, that's kind of our demo too. The people that come in, they're not the night owls. We get a lot of younger people that come in. They usually come in the afternoon while they're out doing something. They come in before they go out. But it's the people that are coming in, you know, 30s, 40s, 50s, somewhere in there, even older. Like
wow.
Me. Like me.
What was your previous occupation then, Scott?
So I worked in manufacturing for a long time at different companies, sheet metal fabrication. I worked for conveyor companies. So was either in operations to start off with, and I got into kind of sales and marketing.
Probably never would have thought you'd be doing this kind of business later in life, did you?
Well, you know, it was always something I thought about. We talked about, my wife and I talked about a brewery for a long time, and I just, in where we are, I just couldn't quite figure out how the logistics were going to work as far as how much beer we could make and how much we could sell. Beer's got a shelf life. I mean, if you go to a craft brewery, it's really only good for maybe two or three months after that. And now you've got to find a distributor to go sell it. And liquor just doesn't have a shelf life. If you buy a bottle of bourbon or musk, you know, Dayshine, you can have that on a shelf. If you treat it right, it could be there for years, and you open it up and it tastes fine. So it seemed to be a better business opportunity for us, and it makes it a little easier for distribution as well.
How long did the process take? I mean, you probably hit a few roadblocks along the way when you're trying to get started, didn't you?
Yeah, I'd say we really started talking about this about 4 years ago. So we've been buying some barrels of bourbon over the last 4 years that are aging. Our first barrels are going to be 4 years old in March. So I don't even know how they're going to taste yet. So we're bringing those down from the place we've been kind of partnering with. So those we'll start to use and bottle. And I'm probably going to come up with a new name for that bourbon. But yeah, that was 4 years ago. So we've been buying bourbon along the way. And then we started planning for the distillery probably 2.5 years ago. So we bought the first building, learned a lot about how to apply for a distilled spirits plant, the DSP, from the federal government. So there's a lot of rules. You can't even imagine the federal government has rules on how to do things. It sounds crazy, I know. But it took some time to kind of go through that and find out exactly how they wanted things, when they wanted it, when we could finally get our distilling license. So yeah, we went through, we had an architect we had to work with because of the food process inside of it, because alcohol is food. So we had to go through a food processing, licensing for that as well. So that took a little bit, I don't think there was anything that really stopped us or slowed us down. Like, oh no, we can't do this. The village has been very helpful. The Southwest Development Commission has been really helpful. The Grant County Development. I mean, everything has been worked really well. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's been a good process. It took a long time. We opened last June, probably in between Christmas and New Year's. I just sat there and said, we're done with phase one is done. We're open. We kind of know what we're doing. Now we can really get into doing more distilling and kind of getting going in that side of it more, because I've been doing some distilling, but just not as much as we're going to be doing in the future.
When you're talking about the federal government getting involved, all I can think of was, you know, running the back roads of Richland County with moonshine in your car.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what they're trying to guard against, obviously.
That's what they're trying to stop you from. Yeah, that's they I think they're probably more worried about you not paying taxes than driving around with moonshine.
Probably.
I think they'd be fine with you driving around with moonshine if they thought they could get some money out of it. Sorry, anybody from the state, the Department of Revenue that's listening right now.
But I didn't think about it, too, you know, from the food aspect. You've got to kind of mind your P's and Q's there as well.
Yeah. It's a little different because we're, you know, the things we're working with, the grains and the liquids, it's different than if you're at a cheese plant or a meat plant. I mean, they have a much stricter, higher level of sanitation. I mean, we got equipment that needs to be cleaned. We've got, you know, it's fairly simple process for us.
Are you serving food, or are you planning to do that down
at the tasting room? We have more, I'd say, snacks or charcuterie board kind of things, cheese spreads, cheese, meat, that kind of stuff. We can bring in food. Anybody can bring in food if they wanted to. People order pizzas from across the street at Sportsman's all the time, and then they'll bring pizzas over. They'll buy food and bring it in, or they'll bring a picnic basket, or they'll say, hey, we're having a birthday for somebody. We're going to bring in 8 people, and we want to bring a cake in and some food. And like, that's no problem. Yeah.
Wonderful. You talked about the outdoor patio.
Yeah.
I'm guessing you're looking forward to when the weather does get nice and you can go back there again, right?
Yeah, that'll be nice. Probably in, I'd say, you know, maybe April we'll start to push it a little bit if the weather's halfway decent and we'll do some music outside or things outside because at least during the day we'll be in the maybe 60s. We're going to try and open an outdoor bar this summer. We got it. When it gets busy, we ran out of bar space inside for people to come in and try and get orders. So we're going to try and open a little small outdoor bar as well.
That's a good problem to have.
Yeah.
Expanding a little bit. The Muscadet Morel Festival will be coming up too. I'm guessing you'll tie in with that event too.
Yep. That'll be a big one. We're doing, I'm not sure exactly. We'll have music, that weekend, probably Friday and Saturday night. I'm going to try and make a barreled old fashioned, like make old fashions in a full barrel and serve them right out of the barrel.
Oh.
So I'm still trying to figure out how I want to do that, what the logistics is of that, how I'm going to move around a 500 pound barrel of old fashions, but we'll figure that out.
Just have a ladle and just
probably sip it out. Have some kind of a spigot on it so I can just open it up and pour out a drink, and we'll have, 500 old fashions in there.
I was thinking of Wapatui. They used to, everybody come and dump something in, and you're not doing that, obviously. But
no, that is not something I ever want to do again. That's a bad scene.
Oh man. So, are you currently in the process? Do you still quite often, or how often do you actually make your product, then, Scott?
So this week. This week I've actually got a gin product that we just started making. I've been making really small batches, like 3 bottles at a time. And it's a Usonian gin. So, Usonian word comes, that was a word that Frank Lloyd Wright used. Usonia is United States, North America. That's kind of where it came from. It wasn't invented by Frank Lloyd Wright, but he liked it and he used it in his Usonian houses. That was that kind of what became a ranch style house, that sort of flat, roof mm-hmm. with the windows. And that's kind of where that came from. And I actually drove past the Usonian Inn in Spring Green and thought, ooh, Usonian Gin sounds like a really good name. And I wanted to tie in again Frank Lloyd Wright, who's more famous than that in the Driftless area.
Great. So you have those light bulb moments once in a while.
Yeah. I forgot about this one. So we do a sugar shack shine. So out of our day shine, we add maple syrup to it. So that, it tastes really good. But we buy the maple syrup from Driftless Gold, just north of town. And we were walking around, and they were giving us a tour. And I said, "Yeah, up there's our original, that's our old sugar shack." And I thought, sugar shack shine. I'm like, that's... How could it? Thank you for the name. That was really easy because I wasn't sure what to call it. So I'm trying to come up with little names that are kind of catchy, and it fits it perfectly. So we've been making that for a while. But that we've already got that we've got the alcohol, and then we mix in the maple syrup that we buy from them.
Yeah, it's nice that you incorporate other area small businesses too that.
Yeah, so I'm working on a rum right now that I. It tastes pretty good. It smells a little weird, but that happens sometimes with rum. It kind of gets like a little bit of a funky smell. So I'm going to make another batch of it. I want to make enough to put a couple barrels together and let it age for a while and see what happens to it. Sometimes that's the problem with like the gin. I'll be able to make. We'll be able to put that in bottles and it'll be ready to go right away. Whiskeys and rum and other things like that, they need to go in a barrel, and they could be in a barrel for 3 months, 6 months, 4 years, and you might not know what it tastes like. Another one I'm going to start doing is a single malt whiskey, which is similar. Most people would call it scotch. But if you're not in Scotland, you don't get to call it scotch. You get to call it single malt whiskey. But that, again, that's one of those where you make it, and then you have to put in a barrel and wait 3 or 4 years to see what it tastes like. Because according to where I've been and what I've tasted as it goes in the barrel, it doesn't taste that great. But after like the third or fourth year, that's when it starts to really develop. And we can use recycled barrels for those.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, like a bourbon barrel, it's got to be a brand new charred oak barrel. That's the rule. So bourbon is the only American spirit that is regulated by the federal government. There are rules on what you can and can't do with it. So every bourbon has to be in a brand new bourbon barrel or a brand new charred oak, white American oak. So it can't be, you can't have bourbon in a French oak barrel. You can finish it, but it has to start off in a American white oak barrel, and it's got to be charred on the inside.
Where do you get those then?
There's a few places that make them in Minnesota. There's places in Arkansas, Tennessee, Kentucky, Missouri. That's where most of them are made. Yeah.
Those barrels are pretty valuable, too.
They can be expensive. The first barrels we bought, just the barrels, were probably less than $200. Now they're pushing $400.
Oh, my goodness.
But there was a big boom on making bourbon for the last 3 or 4 years with some of the really big companies. And they drove the prices up. The prices for if you would just go out on the market and buy bourbon, the prices for a barrel are dropping from where they were probably 2 or 3 years ago. They're still, I think they just went a little crazy and overproduced. So if you're familiar with kind of like the bourbon people that like to go out and hunt for bourbon bottles, everybody was looking maybe 4 or 5 years ago. They were looking for like a 12-year-old or a 14-year-old or a 15-year-old bourbon. Then they could find them all over the place because all these distilleries down in like Kentucky and everywhere else, they had all these old barrels. So they were bottling this stuff, and people were like, "Oh, I found this old bourbon." The old bourbon's kind of gone. And when they went crazy and started really making a lot of barrels, they were trying to refill that hole that they dug themselves. The problem is it's going to take another 10 to 12 years to get back to where there might be some of that old barrel, old bourbon again. So
I'm curious, when you're distilling, have you had any perils like where you thought, oh, you anticipated it was going to be something good after a couple of years, and it really wasn't very good?
Not really. So far the things that we've tasted that are, that are still aging, they kind of change a little. There's a lot of things happening inside the barrel, the alcohol and some of the chemical compounds that are in the alcohol are reacting with the wood and the chemical compounds in the wood. So you could go out and get a barrel that is 2 years old or a year and a half old and taste it and go, this thing tastes great. Come back in a month and you might taste it and go, what happened to that great taste? It's gone. And it just kind of goes back and forth. And most people, they'll wait 3 to 4 years. And that's kind of the sweet spot where things start to calm down in the barrels. And it just gets better. So you can find a barrel out there probably that you don't like, but you blend those. You find a really good barrel that has a good flavor. You find one that doesn't have a great flavor but still got a good flavor. You can combine those two and go from there.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you're going to be having some open mics and different things going on. Do you have goals for 2025, Scott? Some things you'd like to get done by the end of the year?
Well, I'd like to definitely be producing, some of the single malts and rums and some new whiskeys that we can age in smaller barrels that we can get done a little bit faster, or even things that we can serve that are clear. Because it doesn't have to go in a barrel. So you can have a White Dog whiskey or a clear whiskey. It's unaged. So you can't call it bourbon, but they still can have a really good flavor.
Have you figured out anything you can run your car with or not?
If you ever go drive past an ethanol plant, ethanol plants make the majority of the vodka in our country. And people don't think about it like that. So if you really like your vodka, you probably would really love how it runs in your car. they've got a massive production. I mean, they make millions of gallons at a time. But the ethanol that's in your car and the ethanol that's in vodka is not very much different.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, it's been a pleasure getting to know you, Scott. Yeah. We hope people will stop by and see you. What are the hours again for English Prairie?
So we're open on Wednesdays from 4 to 9. We're open Fridays 4 to 9, Saturdays 2 to 9, and Sundays 11:30 to 4.
And some unique drinks as well.
Yeah.
You dream those up at night?
My wife, Sue, and my sister-in-law, Linda, come up with a lot of drinks. I'll send them things that I see it. They look kind of cool, and then they'll go and find different things, or they'll just find them, and they'll come up with the drinks. So, yeah, we've got a whole list of drinks that we make, and I've been bartending a little bit once in a while. So I used to bartend, and I used to do it like everybody else. I'm like, oh, rum and coke, who can't make that? Now I got to make a real drink, and we've got little cheat sheets that we can kind of go through. So I've also got to, I know kind of the basics, but I'll always forget. Like there's one thing that I forgot the thing, or I put in the wrong glass, or I, you know, it happens. It happens something. They like to keep me away from behind the bar.
Oh, I suppose.
They take up too much room.
Well, we appreciate you coming down to see us here today and keeping us come back. And we'd love to promote some of your live music too. So let us know when you've got somebody.
Yeah, definitely.
There.
Thank you.
And you have Mike Johnson, you said?
Mike Johnson, yep.
Tomorrow night.
Yep.
Yeah, good. So go down and request a song from him or something.
He knows a lot of songs.
Does he?
Yeah,
okay.
He's really good.
That's tomorrow. All right. Well, thanks, Scott.
All right. Thank you.
You bet. That is Scott Ochsner of English Prairie Distillery right there in Muscadet. Stop by and see him and check out what it's all about on The Morning Show. We'll have more in just a moment.
Here too. To make it easier, we offer financing with approved credit, and we have just lowered our diamond prices to make it easier than ever for you to get a larger diamond. Let's make a deal. JJ Walsh Jewelers, downtown Richland Center. Happy Valentine's Day.
Please record your message.
Hey, it's me, your car. I hate to bother you again, but you hearing these sounds? Sounds like this and this. I mean, those screeches could be my brakes. And those clunky noises, I have no idea. One thing is for certain, the team at TC Auto Works in Richland Center has the brains and equipment to diagnose and repair all my issues. They service and repair all vehicles, foreign and domestic. So call now for an appointment. 608-383-1700. TC Auto Works, Highway 14, East Richland Center. Call now.
WRCO 100.9 FM, Richland Center.
News Time Today is next, sponsored by Boscobel Pharmacy and Center Pharmacy, your full-service pharmacies caring for you and about you, and by BL Signs. Today, a high of 37 later on, with a few flurries or patchy mist possible. It is 32 degrees.
The Boscobel Pharmacy and Center Pharmacy has exceptional caring staff and great services. They are a locally owned, independent pharmacy, proudly serving the surrounding area communities. The Boscobel Pharmacy and Center Pharmacy is committed to helping patients manage their medications. The pharmacists work along with patients and their healthcare providers to find an individualized plan to help each patient maximize the benefits of their medications while minimizing or preventing adverse effects, interactions, costs, and waste.
I'm Phil Nee for the news update today. Wisconsin businesses are bracing for tariff impacts. James Vanderloo, head at Global Freight Forwarder, OEC Group Milwaukee, said businesses importing from Canada, Mexico, and China are unlikely to take on the costs that come with the tariffs. Vanderloo said President Trump's new 25% tariffs on Canada and Mexico and 10% tariff on China will be hard for businesses to be able to justify absorbing all that cost. So typically they'll pass it on to the consumer. He said that especially applies to small businesses and manufacturers, which are a major part of Wisconsin's economy. A recent Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce survey found 56% of respondents opposing 25% tariffs on Canada and Mexico, and half predicting those would have a negative impact on their businesses. The Wisconsin Department of Public Instruction announced recently the online application period for the public school open enrollment program for the 25-26 school year is opening today and runs through April 30th. Parents and guardians can apply to send their children to any public school district in Wisconsin during the 25-26 school year open enrollment program. Application materials and additional information on the program are available on the DPI's website. School districts are required to notify applicants by June 6th on the status of their open enrollment application. Transportation to and from a non-resident school in most circumstances is the responsibility of the parent or guardian. However, some school districts may provide partial transportation. To assist in submitting open enrollment applications, a directory of public school districts is available on the DPI's website. Additional information from an open enrollment consultant is available toll-free by calling 1-888-245-2732 or by emailing openenrollment@dpi.wi.gov. The public school open enrollment program is funded by state general equalization aid transfers between sending and receiving school districts and the transfer amount calculated on statutory provisions. Resident districts cannot deny a student's open enrollment application for cost reasons.
Wisconsin Democratic Party Chair Ben Wickler won't be leading the national party. Despite Wickler's endorsements from several governors, Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer, and former House Speaker Nancy Pelosi, Democratic National Committee delegates meeting outside Washington, D.C. on Saturday chose Minnesota's Ken Martin as the party's next chair. Martin won 246.5 of 428 votes. Wickler came in second with 134.5. The 51-year-old Martin was serving as DNC vice chair and is also chair of the Minnesota Democratic Farmer Labor Party. A record number of Wisconsinites have signed up for health care through ACA.
313,579 Wisconsinites signed up during the 2025 open enrollment period, marking a nearly 18% increase from the previous period and the state's highest enrollment number ever. Governor Tony Evers says making sure every Wisconsinite has access to affordable health care will always be a top priority for him. During his 2025 State of the State address, Evers announced health care efforts including increasing access to necessary prescription medicine and improving consumer protections. Sean Maloney, Wisconsin Radio Network.
The American Red Cross is encouraging you to give blood or platelets now to protect the blood supply from the ongoing impact of severe winter weather and wildfires as well. An opportunity comes up tomorrow from 12:30 until 5:30 at the Lone Rock Community Building. You can schedule a time to give by using the Red Cross Blood Donor app, visiting redcrossblood.org, or calling 1-800-RED-CROSS. That's 1-800-733-2767. The DMV is now offering the Wisconsin County Forests Association plate. The organization is a nonprofit that works to educate and sustain more than 2.4 million acres of healthy and productive forests for recreation and the state's forest product industry. In order to receive the plate, you will need to commit to a $25 annual donation, which will be used to help advocate and promote sustainable forest management in Wisconsin. There are now more than 60 specialty plates available in Wisconsin, and they can be viewed on the DMV's website. One person is dead and several others injured after a very short police chase through Columbia County. Deputies say the chase started Saturday afternoon when officers attempted to stop a vehicle on I-90-94. The driver, a 22-year-old man from Sparta, took off at over 100 miles per hour, but quickly lost control of the vehicle and crashed on the ramp to Highway 33. One passenger from the vehicle was ejected and died at the scene. Two other passengers suffered life-threatening injuries. Driver is hospitalized but will face felony charges when he is released. A New Berlin man accused of impersonating a customs agent is facing felony charges. Waukesha County prosecutors say 34-year-old Hank Glemlin interfered with police twice in January, once while an officer was handling a deer crash in Muskego and another time at a traffic stop in New Berlin. Both times, Glemlin was wearing counterfeit gear and presented himself as a Border Patrol agent. Glemlin was arrested last week and now faces felony identity theft and impersonating an officer charges as well. The city of La Crosse is set to take action on a new ordinance banning the release of balloons. According to a proposed ordinance document filed with the city's Judicial and Administrative Committee, the ban would apply to outdoor releases of balloons lighter than air. It carves out exceptions for scientific or weather balloons, as well as hot air balloons. Mayor Mitch Reynolds said that balloons released outdoors end up polluting the environment and can even affect grazing livestock.
Whenever you're in Southwest Wisconsin, you're never far from someone who trusts BL Signs. From the van with a sleek wrap you're meeting, to the business sign that welcomes you before you step out of the car, or the restaurant sign that makes your mouth water, BL Signs is behind it all. With a reputation for delivering projects on time, on budget, and with the highest quality, BL Signs of Richland Center is your go-to for all things signage. Visit them online today at blsignage.com.
Today's forecast calls for a high of 37 with a patchy mist or flurries possible this morning. Northeast winds around 10 later on. Tonight, partly cloudy and much colder, a low of 11. For tomorrow, a high of 20 and up to 32 on Wednesday, with again a light wintry mix maybe on Wednesday night. Yesterday's high was 42. It did get some sunshine yesterday. This morning we rise and shine after a low of 30. We've been as warm as 33. Currently it is 32 degrees.
Coach Jamie Johnson here. How are your New Year's resolutions or goals going? Are you struggling? Have you given up already? Maybe you didn't even know where to start or didn't even start. I would love to chat with you about a systematic, structured, supported health plan that works. I say with our program, the plan works if you work the plan. Contact me today, Jamie Johnson, through Facebook, or you can call me at 608-604-7751. Mention the radio ad and receive a scholarship upon the order.
My life is always on, every single day, and the electricity my co-op provides is more essential to it than ever before. It allows me to shop online while I'm watching TV and keeps my mobile phone charged so I can return the 10 missed calls from my mother. I depend on the electricity from my co-op to power my life and keep me connected every single day. Learn more about the power of your co-op membership at togetherwesave.com.
Richland Electric is your Touchstone Energy Cooperative, your source for power and information.
Sports Time this morning is sponsored by the Homesteader Store, Southern Wisconsin's tractor experts. A look at a busy sports schedule for Monday night. Details on a Bucks loss as well.
A Kubota tractor will help you get all those jobs done fast and easy. Hi, I'm Rick from the Homesteader Store. Kubota is known for their high-quality four-wheel drive diesel tractors. They have hydrostatic transmissions, loaders, and three points. They offer great financing. You can go to our website where you can watch a short video where I go through the different sizes of Kubota tractors to fit your needs. Learn about the full line of Kubota tractors at Southern Wisconsin Tractor Experts, the Homesteader Store.
We begin a busy week in high school sports with lots of games and events, and culminating with several conference clashes coming up in high school wrestling this very weekend. Boys basketball tonight, Iowa Grant at Ithaca. For the Bulldogs, it is senior night. Also, Lafarge plays at Hillsboro, Mauston at Royal, Schulzberg at Cassville, Riverdale at Kickapoo, Southwestern at Potosi, Wisconsin Dells at Lodi in boys basketball, Lancaster at Mineral Point, Cuba City at Platteville, Wisconsin Heights at Belleville, and Boscobel at River Ridge. In girls basketball, Riverdale at Highland, Boscobel at River Ridge, Cuba City at Platteville, and Barneveld plays at River Valley in area girls basketball. A fourth quarter collapse cost the Bucks a 132-119 loss last night. The Memphis Grizzlies outscored Milwaukee 39-20 in that period. Giannis Antetokounmpo led an unusually balanced scoring attack with 30 points, while six Bucks finished in double figures. Milwaukee's record falls to 26-21. The team travels to Oklahoma City for a tough battle on the road scheduled for tonight. Milwaukee's Dame Lillard says you can't turn it over.
When you get down a stretch of games, in a close game, you got to take care of the ball. You know, it's important to make sure that we get a shot on every possession if you want to win a game, and we can't have turnovers down a stretch of a game.
The Badgers got hot from the outside, the three-point line in the second half, coming from 9 points down to beat Northwestern Saturday 75-69. John Tanjay was Wisconsin's top scorer with 27 points. All of Carter Gilmore's career-high 15 came in the second half. The Badgers trailed by 9 at 44-35 with 14 minutes 40 seconds remaining. By 3 minutes and 33 left, they were up 71-60. Wisconsin hosts Indiana Tuesday night for its next game. Marquette was knocked off by UConn Saturday at home, 77-69. The Golden Eagles shot only 32% against the two-time defending national champions. Senior guard Cam Jones led the offense with 22 points, and Chase Ross had 19. Marquette trailed 42-29 at halftime, so when they got hot in the second half, they were too far back to catch up. A crowd of 18,129 set a Pfizer Forum record for the program. The Eagles play St. John's on the road on Tuesday. In a move that could hit the linebacking core and the running backs room, the Packers need to replace assistant coach Anthony Capanille. He's taken a job as defensive coordinator for the Jacksonville Jaguars. He has been given a lot of credit for the development of rookie linebacker Edgerrin Cooper, and the Green Bay rushing attack was one of the most effective in the NFL during the 2024 season. This will be his first defensive coordinator position at the professional level. We begin Super Bowl week. Of course, lots of the hype will be centered around the game coming up on Sunday. It was a day yesterday without pro football, although they did do some all-star game activities yesterday. Turning to baseball news, the Brewers catcher William Contreras agreed to a one-year contract guaranteeing $6.1 million, avoiding an arbitration hearing. A two-time All-Star, Contreras had asked for $6.5 million and had been offered $5.6 million when proposed figures were exchanged. His deal with the reigning National League Central champions includes a team option for 2026. Contreras, at 27, batted .281 with a .365 on-base percentage, 23 home runs, 92 RBIs in 155 games last year, and was an All-Star for the second time in three seasons. That's an update on sports today on a Monday morning. I'm Phil Nee. To switch gears a little bit, and we've been wanting to fit these in for just a little while here now, since we first learned of the Voice of Democracy and Patriots Pen winners from our area. And we, first of all, the second place speech submitted by Nolan Hayes, who is a seventh grade student at Eagle School in Richland Center.
My voice in America's democracy. As a 12-year-old, it may seem that I would not have a voice in America's democracy. However, I believe that I do have a voice, and my voice can affect our democracy. How is it possible that my voice can be heard, and who will listen to me? As an American, I am proud to take advantage of my right to free speech. With my use of social media, by talking with local veterans, and through buying goods made in America. Social media is the most common way for my generation to express their voice in America's democracy. While all social media websites are not appropriate for teenagers to expose their opinions, there are some websites that are fine for teenagers to use in discussing their views. During the current election season, teenagers are especially giving their opinions on social media about who is the better candidate in this year's election. I can be a part of the conversation through social media sites. Talking with local veterans is another great way to use my voice in America's democracy, because veterans can explain what it was like to serve in war. They can help me decide whether if I should join the armed forces. And I can also encourage them with my thankfulness for their sacrifice. By doing so, I not only support our veterans, but also my voice is heard. Buying goods made in America is another way to express my voice in America's democracy. Purchasing American-made products puts more money into our economy and helps the economy get back on its feet. These sales give tax money to the government, which can be used to help the residents of America with programs that provide aid for food and housing. My purchases are a way of making my voice heard. I believe that my voice is being heard when I share my ideas about America's democracy. As a 12-year-old, I do take advantage of my right to a free speech in several ways, including through the use of social media, talking with local veterans, and buying American-made goods. Young people like me need to be heard in America's democracy.
Thank you very much to Nolan Hayes, seventh grade student at Eagles School, second place finish and the first place entrant as judged this year. Rocky Brandenburg, who is an eighth grade student also at Eagles School. His teacher is Christine Brenninger.
My Voice in America's Democracy. Having a free voice is an essential part of America's government, a defining feature of our democracy, which keeps the government accountable. My Voice in America's Democracy is important because it contributes to the fairness of America's democracy, allows petitions to be made, and encourages others to express themselves free from worry. Fairness and equality are important aspects of American democracy and can be achieved through my voice and the voice of others. In dictatorships, a free voice is non-existent because government makes decisions without consideration for their people. America's democracy, on the other hand, allows free speech and also allows voting with secret ballots. Whether it be through laws electing the president or other matters of American life, I can affect outcomes with my voice. Through social media, peaceful protests, and petitions, I can get the attention of the government and advocate for fairness and equality in all areas of American society. Often, changes are made and decisions reverted because of voices like mine. Petitions provide evidence that change is needed and wanted. In my opinion, petitions are one of the most effective ways to use my voice and request changes. In American history, for example, petitions were used for change during the anti-slavery and women's suffrage movements. Many smaller but still significant changes are made through petitions every day. These petitions are often made on paper or typed on a computer. Fortunately, websites such as change.org have been created to simplify the process of writing petitions. In America, I can express myself in any lawful way without the concern of being punished. In many countries, if I would make a negative statement about a government official, I could be fined or sent to prison. If our democracy did not allow freedom of speech, speaking publicly about the government would be risky and criticizing her decisions would not be possible. Unfortunately, people often forget how lucky we are to be able to speak our minds without fear of punishment. Each voice, including mine, is significant. My voice in America's democracy is particularly important to me. It is one of the most defining features of our democracy. It helps to keep the government accountable and guards against corruption. My voice is important in America's democracy because it helps to protect equality and fairness for citizens, encourages change through petitions, and gives me power to fearlessly express my ideas.
Again, congratulations to Rocky Brandenburg, an 8th grade student at Eagle School. We have a 3rd place finisher, Charles Zellhofer, who is a 9th grade student at Kickapoo High School. And teacher representative is Sarah Wallace of Kickapoo Schools. So here is Charles' speech.
Is America today our forefathers' vision? It seems like a simple question with a simple answer. Yes, we have achieved the goals of the preamble. We have established justice, ensured domestic tranquility, promoted general welfare, and most importantly, secured the blessings of liberty. According to that reasoning, we today are exactly as our forefathers envisioned. However, there is much more to take into consideration, so let us do just that. The Declaration of Independence states that all men are created equal, yet we are so very divided by race, gender, and religious beliefs. There are multiple incidents of black people's medical concerns not being taken seriously. This is due to doctors consciously or unconsciously stereotyping African Americans as having thicker skin or stronger immune systems. This does not warrant such disregard for their health. Even though they are darker in skin, they deserve equal medical treatment rather than the dismissive tone and lighter medicinal doses given by doctors. Another example of racism in society today is the racial wealth gap. From robertsmith.com. According to the U.S. Department of the Treasury, the average white family had $184,000 in wealth in 2019, as opposed to the mere $23,000 for black families. In addition to racism, there remains a fair amount of sexism in our country as well. There is a significant gender pay gap in many jobs, such as doctors, lawyers, and scientists. According to Forbes, in certain fields, men make up to 16% more than women. Beyond discrimination based on physical qualities, there is a staggering amount of religious discrimination. Although the First Amendment grants freedom of religion, many of us fail to recognize that. In spite of all this division our country has fallen victim to, we have come a long way in terms of unity and equality, which is something our forefathers had not foreseen. Many of our country's fathers and leaders have owned slaves. Since then, slavery has been abolished and black people have been freed. They can now own homes, have jobs, and vote. Another group of people to gain a great host of rights is women. Only 100 years ago, women could not vote. 170 years ago, women could not own property. Now, that seems like a long time, but keep in mind, the U.S. is only 246 years old. After much struggle, all people have finally gained the rights they deserve. But how we use and interpret those rights has changed over the years as we develop more and more technological advancements. Of course, the Founding Fathers knew our country would change and adapt, but it is impossible for them to have foreseen such a roar in technology. When our country was created, we had only horse and carriage and sailing ships, so traveling even short distances took many days. Since the invention of the automobile, motorboat, aviation, and locomotion, we can traverse entire continents and oceans in a matter of hours, something our forefathers never could have imagined. With transportation, communication has greatly advanced as well. It would be nearly a century after America's founding that the telephone was invented, and another century after that for the mobile phone to arrive. But one thing that no one from that time could have seen in their wildest dreams was the internet. It allows news to travel instantaneously rather than the few days to many weeks it took for a paper to go from town to town by mule. The internet allows instant international communication and transmission, a luxury no one could have expected. With all these advancements, our government has changed significantly. With the internet, news spreads faster, resulting in a far more informed population. With better transportation, government leaders can travel to other countries whenever they need to discuss foreign relations. As we have seen, America differs greatly from what our forefathers envisioned. We are more segregated than they stood for, yet far more united as a nation. We are incredibly advanced, both technologically and in terms of government and justice. In conclusion, America is not our forefathers' vision, but that may not be such a bad thing.
Charles Zellhofer, a ninth grade student at Kickapoo Schools, finishing third in The Voice of Democracy. And next up, we have the entry that finished first place. The entries sent to the 3rd District VFW, and one winner, Sam Edel, for which his entry has been sent to the state VFW. And if he wins at the state level, his entry will proceed to the national VFW. So here is Sam Edel, who is a 12th grade student at Kickapoo Schools. And again, his teacher is Sarah Wallace.
It is September 1787. The Constitutional Convention has just concluded, and as Benjamin Franklin is emerging from Independence Hall, a reporter asks, "Well, Dr. Franklin, what have we got, a republic or a monarchy?" To which Benjamin Franklin replies, "A republic, if you can keep it." What was the vision for this new republic? It was a nation founded on God-given rights, inalienable rights, not privileges bestowed by a king or queen. It was a nation of the people, by the people, and for the people. A noble vision, if we could keep it. Does this vision of our forefathers still stand today? Yes, it does. I say yes because I still live in a country called America, a country still governed by the Constitution. But it could easily not be this way. Where would this country be if we lost the War of 1812? If we lost World War I, if we lost World War II, America would be long gone, and gone with it the vision of our forefathers. But battle after battle, war after war, the men and women of our military have kept our nation whole and have given proof that the vision of our forefathers lives on. I am not saying this because this is a VFW speech. I'm saying this because it is the truth. But our military cannot keep the vision for America alive on their own. They need help from their fellow Americans. For example, I met a veteran in my community who was a farmer, and he was also a part of the National Guard. When he was deployed to the Middle East for the first Gulf War, it was planting season. If he did not get his crops in the ground, his farm could easily go under. But his family and community rallied together and pitched in to make sure his crops got planted and harvested. I bet our forefathers saw the same community effort when so many farmers were fighting in the Revolutionary War. Everyday Americans serving those who serve, doing their part to keep our republic, to keep the vision alive. Whether military or civilian, every American can do their part in protecting the vision of our forefathers by engaging in our political system, by voting, and by debating the issues that face our nation. I see this in my small rural township during election season. I see members of my community serving as election officials. I see my friend's grandma bringing in a crock pot of Swedish meatballs to feed those officials. I see members of my community voting. I see the vision of our forefathers in living color. I see my fellow Americans keeping it, and it is a sight to behold. Our forefathers knew. They knew that they could have a vision for America and write it on parchment, but it would take Americans to keep it. And that was their true vision, a republic engraved on the hearts of the people, a republic kept by the people, and kept it they have. Our military has defended our country time and time again, and still do to this very day. While our military serves on the battlefield, there are Americans who support our military in whatever way they can, in their own backyards and farm fields. And there are Americans, military and civilian, who vote and keep our government living and vibrant. I see all of these patriots as the living proof that America today is the vision of our forefathers because they are the ones who keep it.
Sam Edel, who is a 12th grade student at Kickapoo School, who also won first place at VFW District. That wraps up this edition of The Morning Show on WRCO Radio. It's been a good week. We have a lot of great guests lined up for next week here on the program as well.
At 7 o'clock now from ABC is sponsored by Jones Chevrolet, the car and truck people of Southwest Wisconsin, the Richland Family Prescription Center, where your family always comes first, and the Creative Outlet, showcasing handmade gifts, crafts, and scrapbooking supplies, and consigned clothing for the whole family. It is 32 degrees at 7 o'clock.
Keeping your vehicle running at its best is easy with GM certified service from Jones Chevrolet, your one-stop shop for all your service needs on Highway 14 East or JonesChev.com. From oil changes to tires, brakes, and inspections, the GM trained technicians make maintenance simple for you. We have the expertise, technology, and convenient hours to take good care of your vehicle. For the very best GM certified service, make an appointment soon by calling 647-3788. Stop.